This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
And good afternoon, everyone. As a third wave grips the country, Newfoundland and Labrador are still doing relatively well. But it was about this time last year we were collectively getting our heads around the COVID pandemic. And if you recall, a call went out for needed equipment, including PPE. That's when a group of local businesses and community leaders decided to pool their resources to help meet the needs of frontline and healthcare workers. Task Force NL immediately got to work to find and obtain PPE, as well as explore local manufacturing opportunities. So, over the last few weeks, I reached out to, I don't want to say that I was stalking and harassing her, but I reached out to Kathy Bennett some time ago, looking for an update on their efforts. And here joining us today is no other than Kathy Bennett of Task Force NL and Jason Fudge of DF Barnes. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Great. And hi, Jason.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
So, Kathy, we'll get started with you. How did this whole task force idea get started?
Well, it really, was birthed out of a couple of us got together last March, middle of March, and thought we really needed to do something to support the healthcare system and, in a situation where we didn't all understand what, 2020 was going to look like at the time. And I had the opportunity to reach out to a really good friend, Sean Power at DF Barnes, asked him if he'd consider helping a small group of us figure out how we could support the healthcare system, and only to find out that Sean's daughter was a nurse working in a COVID unit, and then also found out that Jason's wife was a nurse on the public health front lines doing COVID testing. So it was very quickly, a partnership was formed between community volunteers and DF Barnes to do some pretty amazing work over the last year.
So, Jason, this was personal for you.
Yeah, absolutely. As Kathy said, Sean's daughter Ursula is a nurse, and she's been working on the COVID floor for quite some time. And my wife Krista at the time was doing COVID testing for public health. So, the uncertainty and kind of the risk associated with any shortage in PPE was front and center in our household.
Is that what prompted DF Barnes to, pick up the gauntlet?
Well, I don't think it was the main driver. I mean, our business is longstanding in Newfoundland since 1932, and we have a real long history of emergency response. So when someone, was looking for help, we're there to put out a helping hand. And, originated with the marine industry, and that's where the company started in 1932. And when boats came in and needed to be repaired to get back out on the fishing grounds, we were there, right on time to get the work done as quickly as we could so they could get back out. And, that history of responding to an emergency and finding solutions to help is part of who we are as a business.
So this started approximately a year ago. Kathy, what have you accomplished in that time?
Oh, gosh, it's been an amazing journey. I mean, initially we started out supporting the exceptional teams in the healthcare, public health and community health and hospital system actually source PPE. So we were able to source about 9 million pieces of PPE and also help them add about 120 new vendors to their vendor list for supply chain. As you will remember, Linda, it was a bit like some people refer to it as the Wild West last March, April, and May, as every country and every jurisdiction was trying to source PPE around the world. So we were pretty privileged to have a large number of volunteers that specialize in sourcing and logistics to kind of join in and help support the talented staff inside the health system. We also were able to get engage the Craft Council of Newfoundland, and I'm sure we'll have a chat about that in a few minutes. But certainly in the early days, procurement was our priority, and it was fairly early, and I think it was the first 6 weeks, Jason, that we realized if we couldn't procure it, we were going to have to try to make it. And it really came down to then simultaneously doing both efforts at the same time. A group was outsourcing around the world for PPE, and then another group set up teams to actually make the PPE here in Newfoundland and Labrador.
And I do want to touch on that Craft Council of Newfoundland and Labrador connection, because that's fascinating. I had no idea. But we'll go back to you now in the meantime, Jason. What kind of a role has D.F. Barnes been playing in all of this?
Yeah, so I mean, when Kathy, started this initiative and brought together a bunch of business leaders and working closely with herself and with Eastern Health, it became apparent that sourcing, as Kathy said, may not satisfy all of our needs, and the need was somewhat unknown, certainly in the early days of the pandemic. So D.F. Barnes, with its manufacturing experience, kind of took the lead on saying, hey, let's see if we can make this stuff. We think we can, and let's see if we can get it quickly to Health Canada standards. And that's what our group within our business, working with many, many other businesses across Newfoundland and Labrador, found solutions and really rapidly prototyped it with the help of Eastern Health to get it to a point where we could start making Health Canada approved masks, shields, gowns, and other PPE.
How many partners have been involved, Kathy?
Oh my gosh, I think, Jason, probably 15, 20 different companies over the course of the last year, or organizations that have been involved in various ways. Besides the businesses that, D.F. Barnes would have been coordinating and organizing under the manufacturing efforts, we would have had the University, College of North Atlantic. We had industry associations, Canadian manufacturers and exporters. There was a tremendous amount of community effort and energy, and I think if I remember correctly, every time one of us made a phone call to somebody and said, we need your help, the response was, well, what can we do, and we'll get it done fast.
And how important was it for the business or the community level to get involved in this? Because it was one thing for governments to try and negotiate all of this. And as you referenced, Kathy, John Hagee, I think, called it the Wild West. He said this in some cases, people, they were ordering PPE that simply didn't exist because there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes and people, probably not being forthcoming in the way that they're producing this stuff or what they actually had. So how important was it for the business community to get involved, people with known context, I suppose?
Well, from a sourcing perspective, it was essential. I mean, we had, I remember having a conversation with Charlene Johnson with NOYA, and Charlene activating, the oil and gas supply chain around the world, that, every Newfoundlander that was working somewhere else inside oil and gas got a call from somebody in Newfoundland saying, can you help us? We need PPE here at home. From a manufacturing side, one of the things that was a real challenge that we were concerned about in the early days was as the global supply chain became so constricted, if we didn't get raw material into the province to actually make the prototypes that Jason just referenced, we were worried we weren't going to get the material at all. And it was really important for us as a community group and as the businesses that we had that material. And it was really important that we were transparent with, our healthcare unions and made sure that they understood what we were trying to do with no promises of being able to get it done. But we wanted to make sure that they understood that we were trying and that they weren't alone on the front lines. And, to Jason and the team at D.F. Barnes, if they hadn't stepped up and been willing to kind of take the lead and coordinate the manufacturing efforts, particularly when it came to the Health Canada certification of the products, with the decades of experience their team has in making sure that we can meet those quality standards, we would have been slowed down tremendously. So we were really privileged and, quite frankly, had a secret advantage in Newfoundland Labrador because we had the type of manufacturing experience on our side under the D.F. Barnes umbrella and team.
Jason, as you and Kathy have both pointed out, this effort wasn't just about acquiring existing PPE on the markets, but about developing local manufacturing capacity. How did that whole process go?
Yeah, I mean, it went incredibly well, and it was really a testament to, as Kathy said earlier, a bunch of people and businesses and other stakeholders really working together towards a common goal. And, you know, we weren't sure we could make it work quickly enough in the early days. There was just so much uncertainty. Kathy referred to, you know, uncertainty of supply. There was the uncertainty of design. There was a lot of risk elements, and we were trying to operate through a pandemic. So, you know, there were a lot of unknowns, but the team came together. There was such a great, you know, work ethic behind it, and everyone was working towards that common goal, and things progressed really quickly. Eastern Health we cannot understate how important they were in this process. I mean, they gave us resources, they gave us people, they gave us access to a testing environment, and, you know, as raw materials came in, we started designing the product. We had a rapid prototype system in place with Eastern Health where they could test the product, provide feedback. We could iterate the design and get a new version out to them fairly quickly. And if we didn't have that collaborative effort amongst all the stakeholders, I don't think we would have got to where we got so quickly. And within a matter of, you know, 2 to 3 months, we actually had Health Canada certified PPE that was being made right here in Newfoundland and Labrador.
What kind of work went into that, logistically speaking? That had to be an awful lot of planning and scheming and...
Absolutely. I mean, our team worked really hard on it, and we were lucky that we've had a lot of manufacturing experience in our organization, as Kathy has said, and others throughout Newfoundland and Labrador. And in particular, kind of the certifications we have around quality systems and safety systems from our offshore oil and gas industry, you know, they paralleled a lot with the Health Canada certifications that were needed for the PPE we were making. So, you know, that kind of dovetailed together. Sean McCarthy, who's one of our VPs here at D.F. Burns, he took the lead. He has an incredible amount of experience in lean manufacturing and prototyping. You know, the team came behind him, and the team was from all organizations and sectors across Newfoundland and Labrador, and it was amazing what they accomplished in such a short period of time.
Are you still hard at it, Kathy?
Absolutely. From a manufacturing perspective, you know, we've got 9 products that ended up being certified to meet Health Canada standards. 3 of those are being sold now actively. But just to go back for a second, Linda, to the logistics, you know, as Jason was talking about the, you know, the days of creating the prototypes, you know, I can remember we did all this, you know, learning Zoom together. None of it happened in the way that normal collaboration would happen, where, you know, you'd kind of be in a room, close proximity to each other and kind of brainstorming. It all happened virtually. And, you know, I can remember Sean McCarthy showing up here at my house, dropping off a prototype so that we could put it on a Zoom call to show some of the, you know, the leaders in the labor movement who represented healthcare workers, because it was important that we wanted them to see it. And I think, you know, the logistics was really smoothed in the context that everybody who was working on the project, whether it was with a company or a community volunteer, people who volunteered from the oil and gas sector, people who volunteered at the university or Kona, et cetera, at College of North Atlantic, everybody just wanted to get it done. And there was a real passion to make sure that we ended up creating these products.
Now, this is largely volunteer. Is that correct?
It was significant in the early stages. Massive amount of volunteers. I think that at peak we had close to about 120 volunteers working. That's obviously, you know, substantially subsided now. And Task Force, as a community organization, incorporated the middle of last year as a not-for-profit. And we are continuing to work on, you know, some projects into the future. But the PPE one, our efforts now as the not-for-profit are focused on supporting the companies who stepped up last year to make the product to now sell it. So we have hired a number of staff people who are working to build a, you know, significant sales pipeline for the PPE product or other health, you know, healthcare products that are made by Newfoundland startups. We're supporting them as well.
Kathy, I'll ask you the same question I think I've asked absolutely every single guest on this show since March of last year. But did you ever imagine that you'd still be at this a year onwards?
I think for those of us who were really, you know, at the early stages, like March, April, May last year, we actually talked about we were going to make the PPE and whether or not it was going to be needed. We were going to get together in March of 2021 and we'd have a bonfire and burn it if nobody needed it. And, you know, it was disappointing, you know, for everybody, I think, to realize that that, you know, that kind of end of the pandemic wasn't going to happen when we thought it was going to happen. But one of the, you know, really positive things about working with the team with Task Force and the team at DF Burns is that we all had a collective place to put our energy. And it made a big difference, I think, for many of us to be able to be actively supporting the healthcare frontline staff because there's really nothing else you could do. And I think for those of us that think back of how much time we put in, we're really grateful to have that time to have helped them.
I want to talk a little bit about this involvement of the Craft Council of Newfoundland and Labrador, because that's fascinating to me. We'll get into that when we come back after the break. My guests today on Target are Kathy Bennett of Task Force NL and Jason Fudge of DF Burns. And we've been talking about the efforts of Task Force NL over the last year and beyond. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guests today on Target are Kathy Bennett of Task Force NL and Jason Fudge of DF Burns. And we're getting a little update on their efforts. And Kathy, you sent me this information a day or two ago, and I was fascinated by the involvement of the Craft Council of Newfoundland and Labrador, because I have to be honest, they're not the first organization that comes to mind when you think about medical equipment.
No, and it's an interesting, I mean, full credit for connecting the Craft Council to Task Force NL goes to DF Burns' Sean McCarthy. You know, he had a relationship with them many years ago and was able to re-engage them. And, you know, we had, in the early days of trying to figure out how we were going to manufacture PPE, you know, we all recognized that it was a complex thing to do. And, you know, I think some of us actually, you know, said, well, can't we just sew masks? Can't we find people to sew it? And you know, Sean, you know, creatively figured out a way, working in partnership with the Craft Council, Marwina down there, is to, you know, figure out how we could get hubs operating around the province. They ended up with 17 different hubs in 12 different communities around the province. And they supported manufacturing 5 different products for us, because we had to make a number of products as prototypes were tried. We had to continue to make products for testing. And the products that they made include masks and gowns, various sizes and different materials. And, we're pretty proud of the work the Craft Council was able to do, and really, really grateful.
So are we sort of drawing from our history here with kind of a cottage industry, Jason? Is that how that went about, or how did they do these hubs?
Well, you know, I think it was just a testament for people recognizing that, hey, we all had to come together to find a solution to a really, really important and kind of serious problem. And as Kathy said, I mean, there was groups of people that came together from all across Newfoundland and Labrador through the council to make this happen. It's, you know, how that will work in the long term, I guess, is yet to be seen. But it's really important and kind of shows how this industry has opportunities for many people right across the province.
Linda, there's about 246 sewers in total, and you know, the College of the North Atlantic Textile and Apparel Design Program, Memorials University Grenfell Fine Arts Program were all involved. But at the end of 2020, I think one of the stunning stats that I learned when we were kind of caught up with Rowena at the Craft Council was that of the 13 craft councils in Canada that were standing at the beginning of 2020, only 2 remained standing at the end of 2020. And one of those is the Newfoundland Labrador Craft Council, who attributes the work of Task Force NL as helping them survive. So to Jason's point, you know, we've moved into now with many of the companies, particularly that are involved in the 3 products that are being produced now. It's all, manufactured using equipment. And those sewers that helped us in the early days, though, really a testament to the power of community in the fact that we were able to save, with their efforts, the Craft Council of Newfoundland and Labrador as part of the task force and the work that DF Farms did.
It's amazing, a symbiotic relationship, because while they were helping your efforts, you were helping them.
Oh, absolutely. They provided, I think there was, you know, significant employment provided, supply, the producers, the community centers where they had, you know, there were sewing hubs that had to use some space. They were able to get industrial sewing machines donated through, charitable contributions to the Healthcare Foundation. Scotiabank supported them with a donation, as did Blue Drop. So they certainly benefited from the work, as did we from the prototypes and the products they developed. And ultimately, the healthcare system benefited because we all came together and worked together to make something unusual happen. And Linda, I remember saying early on, Sean Power with DF Farms, and he and I used to kind of tag off as a bit of a duo because everybody had a partner in Task Force ML. It was a bit like, you know, sewing the socks for the soldiers, right? Years ago, that, we wanted to make sure that our nurses and doctors and frontline staff, you know, the people who had to clean the hospital and make sure that the food was ready for the patients, if there were patients, that they had the PPE, just like, you know, many years ago, Newfoundlanders and Labradorians wanted to make sure that the boys had the socks on the front line. And I think that was a really powerful message and activation of the Craft Council, and we're really proud of what they did.
It is. It draws from so many of our strengths. And just to hear the two of you describe all of the things that were going on behind the scenes that, you know, if you had to sit down for 5 minutes and think about it, you say, this is just not possible. There had to be a will behind all of this, wasn't there, Jason?
Yeah, there absolutely was. And, the Craft Council was a huge part of what we did, but there was a lot of other local businesses that really stepped up. Restwell Mattresses was a huge part of the SHIELD work that we did, as was Browning Harvey and Poly Unity, who's doing, continues to do kind of procedural and frontline SHIELDs right to this day, was a huge contributor there. East Coast Converters, a company owned by the Hutton Group, hugely instrumental in getting isolation gowns out. And we have capacity now to do millions of isolation gowns right here in Newfoundland and Labrador in conjunction with their kind of plastics division. Dynamic Air Shelters, MUN, as Kathy referred to earlier, Eastern Health. There were so many organizations that came together with a common purpose, and it was just amazing to see how quickly it turned into results.
You said, Kathy, that Task Force NL now has now been incorporated. What kind of a role are you playing now, and are these efforts still needed?
Yeah, so Task Force's priority under the PPE umbrella right now is to help sales and make sure that the companies, as I said earlier, that stepped up have some support from us in selling their products. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't also say thank you to ACOA because they and the province for providing us some funding to be able to have some staff that can support these companies in growing not only the PPE sales to direct market here in Newfoundland, but also to Canada and potentially internationally. And going forward, Task Force will take on some new projects, which if we have a few minutes, I'll certainly give you some insights in as we clue up today.
Oh, for sure. Jason, are there export opportunities here?
Yeah, absolutely. We've sent product throughout Canada and have prospective opportunities in the United States and in Europe. You know, but our primary focus is on markets here in Newfoundland and Labrador for the time being. You know, we started this, as we talked about earlier, we kind of started this to make sure that our frontline healthcare workers and support workers were going to be kept safe. And that's still a mantra that we're following here. We want to continue to produce PPE primarily for the regional health authorities here in Atlantic Canada so that our friends and family and brothers and sisters and daughters and sons can all be kept safe throughout the pandemic. But what we've learned in the last year is that we can produce the highest quality PPE here that far surpasses some other PPE that we've seen from other international jurisdictions. And now we can do it in mass quantity, and we can do it in a cost-competitive way that makes a lot of sense for the regional health authorities here in Atlantic Canada. So we're focused on that. We're focused on building our capacity, continuing to drive down that cost curve, and we want to continue to supply the product here for a long time to come.
Kathy, would the supply of PPE to our healthcare authorities been possible without the efforts of Task Force NL? Would we as a province have been able to leverage that kind of influence, politically?
I think that there was a collaboration between, the political arm of government, the bureaucratic arm of government, the healthcare authorities, the business community, academia, academic institutions, and volunteers that was quite unique. I don't think that what happened in Newfoundland and Labrador was replicatable in other provinces. As a matter of fact, I know that because I've talked to other people in other provinces who tried to do what we were doing in the early days and couldn't get it off the ground. We had a significant alignment in what needed to get done, significant support from everybody who needed to have a role, and we had great expertise in our business community, particularly through organizations like DF Burns that were able to help us manage it. I think going forward, Linda, what I'd say too is we can never go back to not being able to make PPE in Canada. And I don't think we can ever go back to not making PPE in Newfoundland and Labrador. If there's anything that makes me worried is going forward, while I hope we never, ever, ever, ever see a COVID pandemic again, I think the science would say that it's probable that we'll have, pandemics in the future. And for that reason, we need to be even more prepared than we were before. And we can never rely on international markets solely for this essential PPE product. And I think that's something that, we as a country and we as a province were acutely made aware of last March, April, and May.
My guests today on Target are Kathy Bennett of Task Force NL and Jason Fudge of DF Burns. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guests today are Kathy Bennett of Task Force NL and Jason Fudge of DF Burns. And Jason, I'll go to you now. And by all accounts, from what Kathy's been telling us over the last hour or so and what you've been saying, is DF Burns really was fairly instrumental in all of this, thanks to Kathy's phone calls and prompting, I suppose, or discussions with you guys. So what did you learn from all of this?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure that Kathy gets the recognition that she deserves, because she was the one who spearheaded this initiative and brought so many of us together. And we followed her lead on this, and she needs to take a huge amount of credit for that, and she did a great job. And as the team kind of progressed here, we became actively involved in the manufacturing, just based naturally on what we do as a business. And the team that came together, both from DF Burns and other businesses and collaborators throughout the province, got us to a point where we were making medically approved Health Canada certified PPE in a short period of time. And it became, obviously we're a business, so we said, hey, this is something that we think has legs and we can continue to do in a sensible way and a competitive way for years to come. And, not only is it a business opportunity for our employees, but it serves a really important purpose here in our community. And, Kathy alluded to earlier that we had become here in Newfoundland, Labrador, and throughout many jurisdictions across Canada and elsewhere, heavily reliant on international supply chains for PPE. Virtually 100% of our PPE was coming from Asia and other international markets. And it's really important for us to have supply chain options for our regional health authorities. I mean, in business, you don't put all your eggs in one basket, nor would you do it personally, and we can't have that from a supply chain point of view either. So that was a huge driver for us, and I think it's something that makes sense for our regional health authorities across Canada. And, you know, we really need to support the local people who have been instrumental in getting us to this point, you know, not only from this PPE initiative, but also just how well we performed in the pandemic. You know, Newfoundland and Labradorians have made huge sacrifices for the last year to make sure that everyone stays safe and healthy. And, you know, that needs to be recognized and supported. And I think, you know, by creating this industry and continuing to build upon this industry here in Newfoundland and Labrador, this is something that is the right thing to do and will have a lot of benefits for the health authorities here in the province for many years to come.
Kathy, you teased earlier that there's some greater opportunities ahead. What are you looking at now?
Well, I mean, under the umbrella of PPE, I'm still optimistic that our goal, I think I challenged the team last year, that we want to make all four elements of the PPE here in Newfoundland and Labrador. We've got one left that we haven't listed off on yet, and that's the nitrile gloves. And I'll leave that to Jason if he wants to share a little bit about the journey on that. But task force itself, we're moving on to additional opportunities for us to help support the community. And one of them that we've identified is the availability of work terms for students at Memorial University and the College of the North Atlantic right now. We're calling it Operation Student Placement. There's about 350 students plus that need placements in the spring-summer work term period. And there's everything. We have students in areas of study from agriculture to computer science to engineering. And in many cases, there's some funding available for these positions. So if anybody's listening today and you want to help one of these very talented 350-plus students avail of a work term, check out our website, top right side. There's a tab called Operation Student Placement. And if you're interested, send us an email through Task Force NL, and we'll get you in contact with the right people at the college and at the university.
Great, and good opportunities for young people getting into the business, I suppose. I've been thinking about, you know, the collaborative efforts that go into this, and even in our conversation, the two of you have been very collaborative, if you will, you know, passing each thing on to the other. So, Jason, Kathy just mentioned that you guys are looking at the nitrile gloves side of things. How's that going?
Yeah, so as we're continuing to kind of build out the opportunity, obviously we wanted to get new products into our pipeline. And as, you know, Kathy alluded to earlier, we were there on masks, we're there on shields, we're there on gowns, and gloves was another kind of PPE product of concern, in particular during the pandemic. And virtually all gloves in the world are made in Asia and very large plants, particularly in Malaysia and other places. So, you know, there's an initiative to try to domesticate some of this manufacturing throughout areas across Canada. And, you know, recently there was an initial RFP or a tender process that came out from the Canadian government. And we were really bullish on the opportunity for Newfoundland and Labrador as part of this manufacturing initiative for nitrile gloves. Unfortunately, it looks like Newfoundland and Labrador is not going to be successful in securing this work based on the feedback we have right now. But it's really important for us to have the federal political support to continue to build out these opportunities for PPE regionally across Canada. So, you know, there needs to be considerations for Eastern Canada, kind of Central Canada, and Western Canada. And we're here, and we want to do it. We've demonstrated that we can do it. Our team is really is ready and willing and able to do it. And we've demonstrated that we can do it at the level of quality and level of cost that makes it competitive. You know, I got to give a big shout out to Eastern Health and their innovation program that's led by Ron Johnson. They have been instrumental in this process, and I know Kathy has worked very closely with that group as well. But they are very, very supportive of local manufacturing of PPE products and other various medical products, so vaccines, all kinds of things that's used in the that's used in the health sector, and they recognize how important it is to have a local supply of these products, and the fact that our people can make it in a very high quality and competitive way.
Kathy, is this one of our strengths coming together in this kind of way?
Oh, I think so. I think, never let a good crisis go. I mean, this is the way that Newfoundlanders and Labradorians come together. And, when you're working collaboratively with people with the same goal in mind, it's really easy to see success. I mean, I don't want to understate, there was definitely challenges. There were moments where we didn't feel we were going to be able to get it done. We still think, there are things that we'd like to do even more of. But I think on the PPE side, it just continues to reinforce that if you set a goal, you work with great partners, you're collaborative, and you always put Newfoundland Labrador first and think about what we can do to help each other, that you can make a difference. And, we didn't get into this last March with an economic agenda, but we're certainly coming out of the pandemic in the next year. In taking the PPE opportunity as an economic opportunity for Newfoundland Labrador. And there's others like these 350 students out there who need us as a community to step up and support them as they get ready to launch to their careers, hopefully here, right here at home and in our province, that we need to continue to step up and support each other and support each other's kids, families, and partners.
Do you see all the partners staying involved, or will some come and go as needs be?
What was interesting, Linda, we put a call out for volunteer board members to go on the board of task force because we wanted to be transparent. And we had over 30 people from all over the province apply, believe it or not, for a volunteer board position. And I think that just speaks to it's a testament to the fact that when a group of people come together under an umbrella, and in this case, just it happens to be Task Force NL, and we commit to doing something and we get it done, and we do it in a respectful way, people want to be around organizations like that. And just some thank yous. I really do want to say a quick thank you to former Premier Dwight Ball as well. He and Minister Hagee last year, March, April, May, were hugely, and their officials were hugely helpful in us getting rolling in the way that we were. And I think it's also important to say a huge thank you to the labor leaders. There was a number of meetings we had where they were juggling a tremendous amount of stress on behalf of their members who are really under acute pressure on the front lines, including, the Nurses Union, QP, NAEP, Newfoundland Labrador Medical Association. And we're really grateful that they trusted us to get started on this journey. And our commitment was always to do it with Health Canada standards. And as long as we aim high, I think we can do a lot of things in Newfoundland and Labrador that maybe we never, ever thought we could do before.
And all those various groups, were they satisfied with the end result, I suppose, or thankful for it?
Any feedback I have has been nothing but gratitude. We certainly weren't the only solution that solved the PPE problem. We were a small part of it. But we were definitely, I think, a welcome community activation to show support for those talented medical professionals and other service professionals that make sure our hospital systems and our community health systems are operating.
We have about 4 minutes left, so I'm going to give you each about 2 minutes to sort of give your final thoughts. Jason?
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity today, Linda. We're really excited to talk about this. One of the key things, overarching things, I think that made the initiative, led by Kathy and TFNL so successful was the idea of taking care of each other. And it's a core value that we have in the province, I think. And it goes back to our roots of living in small communities, and we all had to look after each other to make sure to help ourselves through, poor circumstance in many cases. And that kind of just followed through here in the pandemic. Taking care of each other is a core value that we have at DF Burns, and it's also a core value of Task Force NL. And that concept, I think, is what made this initiative so successful. And we need to carry that through. We've taken care of each other throughout the pandemic thus far. Hopefully hopefully the end is now in sight, and we will continue to focus on taking care of each other. And then we need to take care of each other by supporting this industry as it continues to grow in the province and beyond. You know, we've got great people working in this industry. There's going to be a lot of people who can, you know, find employment in this industry if we can get the support and continue to grow it out. We've had huge support from Eastern Health and, as Kathy said, the government of Newfoundland and Labrador. We want to get the equivalent support from our federal counterparts to support national initiatives across Canada, and I think we're going to get it. You know what? We're doing the right things. We're making great product, and we're putting people to work, and we're really, really proud of it. And I want to thank all of our staff here who've been a part of it. It's really been a moment of pride for our organization.
Kathy, the final word goes to you.
Well, Linda, thanks for the time today, and also thanks for your patience for the last couple of weeks as you were trying to chase me down. You know, real big thank you to the volunteers that stepped up all last year and continue to step up today to support the ideas that Task Force NL throws out there. Shout out to our sales staff who are busy today continuing to fill the pipeline, we hope, with new opportunities and new leads for selling the PPE product. A reminder that if you're interested in supporting hiring, understanding the funding that's available to hire work-term students this spring and summer, and supporting these young Newfoundlanders and Labradorians and international students work here in our province, reach out to us at info@taskforcenl.com, and we'll make sure we connect you with the right people. And the list of all of the placements can be found on our Task Force NL website under Operation Student Placement. And, you know, say thank you to our partners at DF Burns. And, you know, we'll look forward to be doing even more things in the community over the next coming years to help our neighbors, help our friends, and just fill a need where we can.
I have no doubt we'll be hearing a whole lot more about your efforts. Kathy Bennett, Task Force NL, Jason Fudge, DF Barnes, thank you both for your time this afternoon. It's been a fascinating conversation. I do appreciate it. And thanks, folks, for listening.